Hello and welcome to Animal Voices. My name is Steve Roman and I'm going to be your host today. Lauren's going to be joining us on the phone later in our program. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be joined by Malin Joseph. He's the CEO and founder of the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank. We spoke with Malin back in 2008 when his organization had just started getting healthy vegetarian food to families in need. We'll be catching up with Malin, seeing how the Vegetarian Food Bank has been doing since we first talked, and finding out what folks can do if they want to help out in this very important organization, especially in light of the upcoming holiday season. First up, of course, the news. Our first article this week is a piece published on the Woodstock Farm Animals Sanctuary website, which reads, "Livestock Gift Charities Do Not Help Poor Nations." As the holiday season ramps up and the year comes to a close, many of us are besieged with pamphlets and emails from organizations that provide farm animals to people in impoverished areas, the idea being to bring income and nutrition to these communities. Many well-intentioned people are enticed by the celebrity endorsements and pictures of happy farm animals with big red bows around their necks. Aside from the issues involving the treatment of the animals, what's not explained is that the water and land needs of livestock in areas that are often short on both quickly outweigh the benefits. Instead, it increases human dependence on an unsustainable food system that depletes the environment and does not fulfill all of the community's real, nutritional, or long-term survival needs. Those who keep up with the issues of global climate change know that the widespread consumption of animals causes an increase in poverty and malnutrition and harms our fragile earth. In a world with exploding population and increased hunger, we believe it is foolish not to be working towards helping impoverished people in more sustainable, peaceful, and compassionate ways. The good news is you can help the impoverished and promote vegan food choices at the same time through alternative charities like Veg Farm, Food for Life Global, Fruit Tree Planting Foundation, and more. And of course, by supporting Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary and other sanctuaries, you know that you are helping us continue in our mission to raise awareness about these important issues, as well as helping us directly care for so many rescued animal friends. World hunger for food and land and the desire for better health can be met only by widespread adoption of a vegetarian, preferably vegan, diet and vegan organic food production. That's from HIPPO, the HELP International Plant Protein Organization. We all have an opportunity this holiday season and throughout the year to inform others about giving to compassionate charities that don't engage in harming and killing other animals. What a wonderful gift for all the life that shares this earth. Our second article is a follow-up to a case I reported on almost a month ago now from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Former Fulton County man faces animal cruelty charges in deaths of hogs. The deaths of 832 hogs at a central Pennsylvania farm have led to 832 charges of animal cruelty against the Maryland man who authorities say was responsible for them. A criminal complaint filed Thursday alleges that Daniel Lee Clark Sr., 47, now of Clear Spring, Maryland, left the hogs to die when he abandoned his Fulton County farm in February 2009. The charges are summary offenses. Clark's lawyer said that he had not seen the charges, but that his client had, quote, a very different version of what happened to the animals. By the time the hogs were found last month, they were basically mummified, State Police Lieutenant Gregory M. Bacher said. A real estate agent inspecting the property on November 8th discovered the cadavers in two large metal barns and called authorities. Because the carcasses were so far gone as to being mummified, necropsy could not really provide any details of how they died, he said. We can't really say whether they starved. He said the livestock might have died of cold, heat, thirst, or disease, or some combination. Some were very young, and some were ready for sale, Bacher said. Clark's estranged wife co-owned the farm but was not charged because he was the animal's caretaker, Bacher said. Under state law, if somebody other than the hog's owner had caused the deaths, felony charges could have been filed. Because Clark's owned the hogs, lesser charges applied. I don't want to belittle the charges, but this is like getting 832 tickets, Bacher said. Each one is a summary offense. Animal welfare advocates described the case as the biggest of its kind they had seen. Tim Rickey, ASPCA Senior Director of Field Investigations and Response, who helped lead the investigation, said the evidence supported the number of charges. I am extremely pleased that the local district attorney is holding this guy accountable, Rickey said. This is a very significant and large animal cruelty case in Pennsylvania, and this sends a message. Rickey said he believed the charges should have been misdemeanors or felonies, but understood the law's limits. Clint Barkdahl, Clark's lawyer, said neither he nor his client had seen the charges yet and could not comment on them. He said Clark was devastated by what happened and said they had not yet determined how he would plead. There is a very different version of these events, he said, and he looks forward to presenting his side of the case. I just wanted to mention on the way in today, my bus went by a livestock trailer, and I was face to face with a pig. that was on its way up here to Toronto to get slaughtered. I could say that reading this article, I feel for all these 832 pigs, and I really hope that someone's held accountable. But I don't think that the charges will necessarily they won't necessarily make amends for the damage done. But finally, I wanted to read this article. It's from 2008. This reported on the opening of our guest, Malin Joseph's historic Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank. I imagine things have changed significantly since this article was written, and hopefully Malin can fill us in when he joins us after the break. This is from the Toronto Star back in 2008. Vegetarian Food Bank is booming. Canada's only vegetarian food bank is barely 5 months old and already serving more than 200 people from two locations, its founders say. We've been very busy, says Jessica Smith, and I have a feeling with the economy doing what it's doing, we may get more. Smith, a vegetarian, helped to set up the food bank with Malin Joseph in May. It now serves 45 families, or about 220 people, from locations at 2370 Midland Avenue and 2400 Finch Avenue West. Joseph is a Catholic, but his wife worships at the same Hindu temple as Smith. He says he saw the need for the food bank as waves of Hindu immigrants moved to the city but had trouble making ends meet. They went to food banks, but as strict vegetarians, they could not use much of what they were given. Smith says that much of the fresh fruits and vegetables come from a Milton area farm operated by a community of Sikhs for the sole purpose of donating the produce to charities and food banks. The group prefers to remain anonymous, she says. The food bank is open Saturdays from 10 a.m. to noon at the Finch location and 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Midland. That's all our news for today. We're going to hear a few songs now from Kevin Tillman of the Vegan Hip Hop Movement. Kevin has been bringing us some amazing veg and animal-friendly hip hop every week for a little over a month now. We decided to replay some tracks he had sent us a few weeks ago now, since they weren't archived the first time. You are listening to Animal Voices here on CIUT 89.5. You can check us out online at animalvoices.ca. And Facebook, and of course, we'd like to hear from all of our listeners. You can write us at animalvoices@gmail.com. We're going to be catching up with Malin Joseph, the founder and CEO of the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank, after our quick musical interlude. Stay tuned.
It may have started with the Easter Bunny or St. Nicholas. Even more ridiculous, a tooth fairy. From there we're forced to recite the pledge. Hail Mary, one nation under God. Why us? Don't question, son, you're burning hell. Pay attention to the lies that we're told to tell. Teacher teaches us Columbus was a hero. He stole lands, he stole lives of so-called Indians. From the Tainos to the Africans. Respect Thomas Jefferson? He molested Sally Hemings. And now they say Reagan was a great man. The godfather of crack babies? Denier of the AIDS plague? I ran fast as I could to the library to find out they trace the books I read. These lies got me surrounded. There's a war on truth. Ain't it on me? It started with that first lie's truth. Lies, it's all lies, everything they say. Lies, they keep telling lies. We hear them every day. Think that we don't know that you're up to no good when you're telling lies. They say milk does a body good. How so? It causes disease. Don't trust me? Read about BGH and RGF-1. The dairy industry has a stricken poison. Got milk? Better yet, how about? Got cancer? Got a sick prostate? And you're looking for answers? And why we trust the FDA to protect us? These mad cows are milking us all the way to the bank. From cell phones to pharmaceuticals. Children force vaccinations that carry plague and chemicals. Corporate thugs push drugs like evangelists push miracles. Monsanto, Bayer, Procter & Gamble. Fluoride in our water supply has got us all cockeyed. But still they lie, telling us it's for our own good. First Jews in Nazi prison camps, now it's in our hoods. Lies, it's all lies, everything they say. Lies, they keep telling lies, we hear them every day. Do you think that we don't know that you're up to no good when you're telling lies? From Fox News to the New York Post, and all these lying neocon right-wing news show hosts, Bill O'Reilly makes me nauseous. Hannity and
comb the drones for these greedy corporate monsters. Pity lies to the public, they love it with puppets intimidated and controlled by color codes where lie becomes truth and truth becomes myth. Lost in the Rupert Murdoch and Clear Channel Abyss. If you don't agree with Bush and you're unpatriotic, even if you've never known a man this psychotic in control of the so-called free and the brave, you become timid and afraid, eager to become slaves. The Patriot Act is good for the people. It's like saying the Bush regime will protect us from evil. How many lies can they tell in just 4 years? I say the worst is yet to come, so it's time to prepare. Lies, it's all lies, everything they say. Lies, they keep telling lies, we hear them every day. Do you think that we don't know that you're up to no good when you're telling lies? We saw the towers fall to ashes like they were laced with bombs. Are you sure only two planes did that harm? You told us Flight 77 hit the Pentagon. But there's no photos of parts, man. Plus the science is wrong, you let it happen. Like FDR did Pearl Harbor so you could profit from war. Sorta like your father taking lives and oil in the name of freedom. Our innocent are either tortured, left homeless or bleeding. Death to America is what they scream while you preach freedom and the American dream. Troops dying, mothers crying, still trying to cope while you're denying that the dangers from Iraq was a hoax. You're not a man of the people, just a product of evil. Greed, power, and God, a combination that's lethal. So deceitful is criminal, but soon the truth will rise. Lies.
Everything they said turns out to be a lie.
Hey, this is Kevin of the Vegan Hip Hop Movement. You just heard Lies by Ramo Conscious off of his Thought Criminal album. Please be sure and check out other vegan hip hop artists on the Vegan Hip Hop Movement Facebook, MySpace, and Blogspot pages. Now here's a song entitled Chicken Little by Skip of Nonsense Records.
Been 2 weeks since my arrival. Survival bleak when your peak is your rival. It's too bad they don't teach what to eat in your Bible. Cause if it did, the entire human race would be vegetarians. On the fifth day, God made animals. On the sixth, made man to care for them. Where's Adam? What the fuck is this called God? What have I done for this to become so hard to maintain that I'm doubting if his love exists? Confused, don't understand why I'm here now. My endocrine system's over time and pumping me with fear now. Just breathe. It's so much harder than it sounds. What do ammonia levels rising from the excrement that's on the ground? Found the sound of death, warmed into slavery and shackled him. Past a tacit expectation, hope is cast it from and let it go. Just as you too would wish to be released from those who use you, but rather back into a vat of crystal, move to lands of trans famine and waste my drive through afterlife called KFC. You eat me. Off of the broken bones where they mistreat me, fast forward. No more than a half since my arrival. This life is bleak when your peak is your rival. If I could walk, I'd wipe my feet with your Bible. Ain't able to handle my weight, now lame and ground stricken. Sick and die thicken with manure and ground chicken. Most cannibalistic condition geared to cheer my mentality. Your dog's a family member, I'm an accepted meal casualty. Quenching appetite actually acquired through the force feeding of Gerber to babies who learn to take the silver spoons passively. Holding my side, trying to edge over to the water without the use of my legs. I'm far from alive, far from dead, so far from any place warm, despite all the heat in this shed. Born to be bred, bred in fear, gotta be better be dead than here. It's lights out, I'm sleeping, grabbed from behind. I guess somebody sneaked and snatched up, sustaining a broken wing. Now I'm weak in last truck ride, my final day on this earth. Off to slaughter only 45 days after my birth.
The life of a broiler chicken, a chicken raised and killed for meat, begins in a commercial hatchery. In the 1950s, it took 84 days to raise a 5-pound chicken. because of genetic selection and growth-promoting drugs, it now takes an average of only 45 days. If we grew as fast as a chicken, we'd weigh 349 pounds by age 2. Mentally, these chickens are still babies, but they're trapped in bodies too heavy for their legs to hold or their organs to support. Broilers now grow so rapidly that the heart and lungs are not developed well enough to support the remainder of the body, resulting in congestive heart failure and tremendous death losses. They grow at severely accelerated rates on an unnatural diet, including manure and the rendered remains of other chickens. Once packed onto trucks, the chickens are transported to the slaughter plant. The chickens are moved out of the trucks, dumped onto conveyors, and hung upside down in shackles. A machine cuts their throats, but some chickens miss the glaze. Those whose throats aren't slit drown in scalding tanks. Drown in scalding tanks.
I broke free. Mouth with metallic aftertaste, no complaining neither. But I was just glad I didn't get the freezer. Yolk and egg white trapped in a shell, analogous to my death plight containment. So today I get my neck sliced and inserted. Pasture chicken wire, I think to demean my sense of self. Fast that I shelf skirt stolen from mom before I could even ask what yelling help's worth. 2 cents. Ironic the respect that Mother Goose gets for fables and sacrifice on Thanksgiving tables back to me. Never knowing what it meant to be free. Which came first, the chicken nugget of the mad scientist's spree. Fleeting moments are pretentious when you're born with a D-Day. No one cares what the meat say. Have their souls sold on eBay, shoved in crates. Slated not to let fate wait for gestation. I'm underweight and pop with growth inducing hormone medication. Tasting my own fate based on I'm only a half a week old case. In a truck, numbers fuck case. And a place for escape to vacation. Cause we're rolling 60 deep in a shoebox caught and alone. At least a third of us suffocated before we hit a mile outside home. Which makes me a miracle. A 1 in 3 chances of dying survivor. A Jew smiling inside a gas chamber because he barely survived the driver. Which gives him hope. And in this state, that's really all you need. I can't pick away my problems cause they clipped away my peak. It's hard to eat now, but I guess it doesn't matter anyways. I'm only 3 days old and there's only 42 left to face. 41. Building when you know you're gonna die to be an extra value meal with side of fries and still it hurts. Sinks in when you realize what you worth. No peace to rest and rest in pieces in a bucket, not a hearse. Drops in a conveyor belt to take us to the next room. A dark and dodgy atmosphere that told us we'd be dead soon. Fighting my advancement, the shadows seem to dance with the spirits of a billion others asking me for answers. But I don't know why you had to die and I don't know why I'm about to. They grab me, shackle me and then I begin to shout to. Upside down, I'm headed for the blaze. I close my eyes and let the reaper come to take me. Wait, something's wrong, I'm not dead. The blade missed me, I'm not dead. Don't warn me in a tank, shoot.
It's something in the sky falling. Tell me it's your time falling. Fall and tell me it's your time for me.
The consequences of ideas. This layman-friendly overview of philosophy will help you understand the thoughts that influence the worldviews of our day.
And we're back on Animal Voices. I have on the line with me both my co-host Lauren Corman, who couldn't make it in today, sadly, and Malin Joseph, the founder of the vegetarian food, the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank. Malin, do I have you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and Lauren?
Yeah, hi. Hi, Malin.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's nice to talk to you again.
Yes, thank you.
So we've got a lot of questions here for you, and hopefully you can tell us a little bit about how the food bank's been going since the 2 years that we haven't talked to you. So we interviewed you back in 2008, and you were just getting started. Can you tell us again why you started the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank? Why a vegetarian food bank?
Yeah, actually, I was working with the Hindu temple in North York. My wife is a pure Hindu, and she established the temple in 1997, and it is running for the last 15 years. So I am working along with her. I met many vegetarian families that they cannot afford vegetarian food, and they were turning into a regular food bank.
Mm-hmm.
While they're going there, they had some difficulties of the food that mixed with the vegetarian items, and they give like a meat and the broth and everything mixed together. So they had some allergies, and every time they come and they complain about their vegetarianism, and it is not pure vegetarian through the other food banks. So I was every day by day I was hearing this information, and I thought now it is the time for these people to have their own food bank, and there they will have their freedom, and there is nothing to worry about the meat or meat kind of a product. So that's the reason I started in 2008, May 11th on the Mother's Day, the Vegetarian Food Bank.
How has the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank grown since then?
It is very, very welcomed by everybody, like from the community, from the business people, from the students, from the volunteers, and from the social service and the government, and everybody was like, they liked the idea,
mm-hmm.
and they were supporting through different ways, like donating food, donating little money donations, and mostly the volunteerism is very high in our food bank, and a lot of people willing to volunteer, because our volunteerism is based on the resource center developing the skills through the food bank in different ways their skills can be developed.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of volunteering is happening from schools like Seneca College, Humber, and other places like Joke University, and a lot of students are coming, and a lot of adults are coming, a lot of seniors are coming, and a lot of social assistance people are coming, because they get some extra money also for the transportation. So it is very, very good, and the people who obtain the food also has increased. When I started in 2008, it was like about 15 to 20 families at the beginning, around 6 months' time. Now we are serving about 350 to 400 families now.
Wow.
Yes, and the donation also coming from different, especially I have to thank Mama Earth Organic, the organization. Every Friday they give us fresh fruits and vegetables.
And you're doing you're having a food drive through them, the Mama Organic. Can you tell us about that?
Yes,
food drive?
Yes, they are doing the food drive for this year for us. Yes, in December they are doing it, and all the fruits are fresh fruits and vegetables are coming every Friday to the Carbro location.
Okay, and I also read that it's on December 10th, 17th, and 24th with the Mama Earth Organic. So what does that mean? Where would they go? Where would people drop it off?
Sometimes we go and pick it up during the Friday's evenings. And this food drive, they are set up for to bring it to our location in Scarborough, Midland.
Okay.
So they bring it through their trucks.
Wonderful.
So,
and why that organization? Who are they?
They are like a big distributors in Toronto, like fruits and vegetables. And they do deliveries to door-to-door, and they are online business, I think, from only organic vegetables, and they are very famous and long-standing organization in Canada, like a business. And whenever they have a Friday, because Saturday, Sunday they are closed, so the Fridays whatever the leftover, but it is really fresh and very good produce, and they give it to especially for the vegetarian food bank.
Oh, so this is specifically they're giving food to you. This isn't that they're running a particular drive that they're asking other donors to donate food.
Yeah, but what they did is, like, during this whole year, they were donating the excess food to the food bank.
Mm-hmm.
But especially in December, for the Christmas and New Year, they are doing a food drive with their buyers and with their clients, and to donate and give it to us, too. That's a special event going on in December.
You have some other connections in the community. I know that the Vegetarian Association of Toronto
has
been a big
very
supporter.
Helpful, yeah. The Vegetarian Association is very helpful to the food bank whenever they have any function, any meeting or anything, and they have a box to get a food drive for the Vegetarian Food Bank, especially David and Bobby and all of the people. They always help, and they ask for what are the big events or special events. Anytime we put a box, and me or my volunteers go and pick up the food from the Toronto Vegetarian Association. And especially in September, we had a full load of donation from the festival we had at the Harbour Front. So it was amazing support from Toronto Vegetarian Association too.
It sounds like a lot of the community partnerships you've been forging, it sounds like those are some of the highlights that you've been seeing the last couple of years. Can you point out some more of the major highlights you've seen in the last 2 years of running the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank?
Actually, the people support also very important, because the organizations like us, it's kind of a business people. Sometimes they are running well, and sometimes they are not running well. But we should have a very strong support from the people, like a monthly donation or like a yearly donation, and, for example, a lot of people, they have a birthday, then the birthday time, they don't celebrate birthday at home, they bring the food to the food bank. Mm-hmm. So kind of people are like turning into their wishes and their parties and their birthdays, they wanted to celebrate in food bank and bring the food and give it to the people by their hand. So that was very amazing.
That's a beautiful idea.
Yes. But whenever they have a big function, like a wedding anniversary, birthdays, and get-together, and what do they do is, rather than spending on the halls and a lot of expenses outside, they bring their function to the food bank. It's a free hall. Everything is there. Everybody bring their own bags of food, and they give it to the... And we invite the people also, the public. And they give it by their hand, so they are more happy. Oh, we are giving something to the community and the people who are hungry.
That's really great to hear. Can you say what need still exists for the food bank? Is there anything that you'd people, if they're willing, if they're listening to this show and they want to help out, what can they do?
Actually, what they do is the volunteers, they come because every week we are giving out the food, and 2 hours before they come to the food bank. And we prepare the food, we pack the food, we clean it, and we, according to the family size, we put it in the bags and give it to them. And before the volunteers, they started working. Now, first we do a orientation, volunteer orientation, how we handle the clients, how we can assess the people, how we find out they are very low income and no income or no status people. And we are serving to everybody, as you know. We are giving food for the, even they are non-vegetarian, doesn't matter, we give them and we educate them on the road, and eventually for them to become a vegetarian. Hmm. So we do classes there, and we do like a resource center, like a pamphlet, Toronto Vegetarian Association pamphlets. Most of the pamphlets we have it in our resource center, and we hand it out to the people and ask them to become a vegetarian or one day vegetarian. Or like Toronto Vegetarian Association says, Monday free meat.
Mm-hmm. Meat free, yeah. Mondays, yeah.
Meat free Monday, like that. So we insist people, like not like a forcing, but we are cordially inviting people to say, like, one day be a vegetarian. It is helpful for your spirit, health, environment, everything. And now we are running a food handling certification program. I am in partnership with the City of Toronto Public Health. And I'm running a food handling course now, one-day course. So all the volunteers are now equipped with the certification. They're certified. So we are very 100% sure that the food is going from our hand to the people. Is very clean and nice, and everything is perfect. My big policy to the food is whatever we are eating has to go to the other people. So if you see some food banks like, oh, it is the date is yesterday, but we can still give, or the fruit is a little bit bad, or cut this one and give the good one. No. Whatever you are supposed to eat, that's the same food has to go to the people.
So community support, job, yeah, training certification, and vegan outreach, vegetarian outreach. That's really impressive. We're going to take a quick short break just to run a station ID, and we'll come back in just a minute.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Okay, and we're back here on Animal Voices on CIUT-FM 89.5. We're here with Malin Joseph, the founder and CEO of the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank, and my co-host Lauren Corman is joining me from the living room of herself at home.
Steve, I just wanted to jump in quickly, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Milan, I wanted to ask you, because I'm realizing as I'm sitting here that, of course, it's wonderful news that the Vegetarian Food Bank, the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank, has grown, but at the same time, it seems sad that the numbers are growing. Can you sort of reflect on what that means that the numbers are growing? Does this mean that we're meeting, that you're able to meet a need, or is this because poverty is growing in those areas?
Actually, if I say it in real fact, it's the poverty is growing, and people have no access really for the vegetarian items. That's what I am just trying to talk to the city councillors and MPs and MPPs. We should be funded. This is not funded yet, and we are trying to talk to the government level, the municipal level, and provincial level people, because this is a very necessary program we are running. And the people really in that area and the food bank two locations, the poverty is growing. That is for sure. The people who are coming to the newcomers, coming to the countries, the numbers are growing. And the people are not getting their papers in quickly. So they have to depend on the social assistance or some other assistant forces to help their families. And the people are coming, also they are family people. Like if you see the average family, they have 3-4 kids, they are under 7 years old. Most of the families I met them, like out of these 300-400 families, they are coupled with the one kid or two kids. The kids are like around 3, 4, 5. So it is very important for that family, even if you leave the adult for the kids, they need a very strong nutritious food at this point. Then only we can build this country with the education, because they are the people who are going to take over the country in future. So they have to be nutritionally fed, for they have to be strong in the mind to study and get the hand of this country's policies and everything. So that's what I'm thinking right now. The food bank, like I'm a vegetarian, maybe the other food banks too, we have to focus on the kids right now. Because in 20 years, they are going to be adults, and they are going to run into universities and educational levels. If they don't have a right strength to study, or the brain is not so strong, how can expect a good, healthy, educated community in Toronto and Canada?
Mm. Can you remind us again about how many individuals are being served every week?
Every week, average like about 75 to 100 families.
Wow.
And most of them are with the kids.
I'm curious, you said that you're vegetarian. I had read that on, maybe it was through the Facebook group or somewhere else, but when we had first interviewed you in 2008, you weren't a vegetarian, I don't think, at that point, although
yeah,
you were very sympathetic. What brought you to vegetarianism? What actually ended up convincing you in the end?
Yeah, because, you know, I was even the Maclean's, they mentioned me as a meat eater, to open a vegetarian food bank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a born Catholic, so I was eating meat and vegetables and everything. But after I opened this food bank, I got access to read all the materials about how if you become a vegetarian, what is the benefit for you and the community and the environment. Well, number one, I realized that. Number two, my clients and my volunteers, everybody forced me, no, you cannot be a meat eater, and you can run a food bank. So I said, yes, they are fair to ask, because they have a right to say, because I'm a founder president. If I eat meat, what is the point that they are going to be a vegetarian and I'm a meat eater, you know? Because every time we have to listen to the people, and we are you know, on a learning process until we die, right? So I thought their request is correct. I should be a vegetarian.
Well,
I have
it's very
to be a
inspiring.
Vegetarian.
It's very inspiring, Milan.
Everything about the story is inspiring.
So I become a vegetarian, and I'm fine. I'm great. I'm feeling very better. I can work more energetic, and my goodness, it is fantastic.
I was wondering what kind of feedback you've received from the people using the food bank, from the community, and how do people respond to the vegetarian food fair?
Oh, I have plenty of testimonies in the papers and records, and even verbally. And they're all very happy, especially the kids. They wrote some notes from grade 3 to grade 5. They say, oh, every week we are getting mandarin orange from a vegetarian food bank, our moms cannot afford to buy that in the flea market. Mm-hmm. And some of the fruits, some of the vegetables, because we seasonally we buy, which is like a seasonal produce. So we buy more and give it to them, like banana, strawberries, and mangoes, and fruits, like any kind of fruits, like it is like coming in a season.
Mm-hmm.
So we buy more on that, and especially we are giving to the kids. But I told all the volunteers and volunteer coordinators, if you see the family have 2, 3, 4 kids, give them more fresh fruits and vegetables rather than the non-perishable items.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fill them with the fresh fruits and vegetables. Let the kids eat the fresh fruits and vegetables. So those kind of our procedure and attitude, the kids are very, very, they love vegetarian food bank now.
Who wouldn't?
I heard a story about one of my family. They told, since she's the girl, she's I think about 7 years old, student, 7 years old kid, girl, and she said since she come to the vegetarian food bank, she told her mom, "Mom, I don't need any meat. Always you cook me a vegetables, vegetarian fruits, vegetables, salad. That's it. I'm not going to eat any meat." So it is a wonderful experience, you know, when they come and talk to you in front of you, and they say, "Oh, my daughter say like this, my mom did like this, you know, my father did like this." So it was a very good, amazing experience. I feel better when I hear the story like this. I can even make one person to be, you know, change in the world. I can make 100 people, but if I can make 10 people, I'm happy.
Have you had people who have transitioned out of that position of poverty, people who have been able to come back later once they were not struggling financially to come and help out again, or to tell you about their experiences with the food bank once they're no longer using it?
This is what I always tell the people, because when they come to Canada, they are new. When they are new, brand new, then they come and meet us at the food bank and get the help, like a food as a help. They will never forget in their life until they live in Canada. Because I know some people, like even 2 years ago, or in my experience more than 2 years ago, the people who come and meet me at the beginning, they're out of welfare, they are working, they got landed, they are now becoming a citizenship and everything, still they want to donate. And they come and say, "Oh, at the beginning you give us, now our turn to give you back." So isn't it a very amazing statement? And they are trying to help the food bank through their experience, because they think that who are coming now today also the same need that they had it about 2 years ago. So they want to help us, like a $10 monthly donation, a $20 monthly donation. Now we are okay, we are happy, and we are working, so we have to help you back.
How has the public responded to the specifically vegetarian food bank? Like, how do you respond to this idea that people could just go to a regular food bank and just only eat the vegetarian items?
Yes, people comment. Sometimes they will comment about the other food bank. I always tell them, because, you know, their setup is different, our setup is different. We should not mix together, like how they are doing well or they are not good, or we are doing well or not good.
Mm-hmm.
So always, even if you are not vegetarian or if you are vegetarian, come and help us. Because people, once you come, after that, they think about the hospitality. How do we treat them? How we move them? They become a family. Every Saturday, they because one of the family members, they said with the kids, if you don't go to the food bank, they don't feel that next week is going to be a good week. Like, you know, they want to come and see all their friends and families, and then they want to have a coffee and sit down and talk about 1 hour there, and 1 hour. It's like become a community center now.
Mm.
Like they don't want to get the food. They want to come and say hello. They want to bring their children to the other children. They talk each other. Now they get the email, internet. They connect like a networking now.
It seems like it takes away some of the shame that people might feel associated with going to a food bank, that it really isn't stigmatized in that same way.
Yeah, actually, like it's like a real network is happening the day by day. The time is going, because the same people and the new people come, and they're adding new people again, and the families and the kids are going to be together, like, you know. And tomorrow, next week, we are going to have a potluck. everybody, every from country, the different country cooking, they're bringing different dishes next Saturday, and they're going to have their, they're going to share everybody like a, all kind of, like I think about 20 countries' food are going to come next Saturday. So I'm so happy, but especially we invited all the kids to come and participate and check the food and see how their different dishes are made, and you know. So they are going to have a good fun next Saturday.
For people who are listening that maybe haven't been involved with the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank before, that sounds like maybe a great opportunity for them to sort of come and check it out and maybe bring their own dish and say hello and possibly get involved.
Exactly. I have to thank you for your radio, first of all, because the last time, the 2008, when you did the program with me, it was so amazing. A lot of people call from York University, even the professors, they call me. Mm. They listen to your radio. I think you have a lot of clients listening now more and more, and they help me too. They
help me with the food.
They help me with the food. They help me with the donation. They help me. Still, they're calling me.
That's great.
Yeah, that was so great. I have to be very thankful for your great job.
You can thank Lauren for that. I wasn't around back then. But
well, it was an honor to have you on the program. I mean, we were just so excited that this initiative is starting and that it's done so well. Although, of course, we wish that the poverty wasn't there. I was curious if you could reflect a little bit on some of the reasons why you had mentioned people coming to the country and not being able to find fresh food and be able to afford good produce and that kind of thing. But I was wondering if you could just reflect on some of the reasons behind the poverty that we are seeing in Canada. It's known as to be a first world country that's very rich, and it seems that we're failing people quite extraordinarily if there's this kind of need.
Yeah, like the poverty, when I say about the poverty means they have a low income. That's the main problem, because when they come to the country and they apply as a refugees or like different type of immigration system, right? And they get, say for example, somebody apply for the refugee, it takes so long, like about 3 years or maybe more than 3 years, to accept them as a landing person. Until that time, this family has no access for the health care, and only they have to depend on the social assistance or ODSP or whatever it is. So that is the main thing that make them low in income, and they can't go to work because the work permit sometimes get late also to get them to go for work. Mm. And as soon as they come also, it is difficult to find a job because they have a language barriers, they experience Canadian experience barrier, and all sort of barriers are there. So it takes about at least 3 years for them to be step on their feet. So that's why the food bank had an initiative that as soon as they come, we have a resource center. It is employment training and skill development, and we have a program called Ready to Job Training. So as soon as they come, we talk about food and they give food. At the same time, every week or once in 2 times a month, we do our employment resource education teaching, so that the parents can come and participate, and they can start something in the beginning, like a cashier job or labor job or something like that, you know, like for a restaurant job, anything. Mm-hmm. So with the education side also, we are concentrating to eliminate the poverty, because at least if they do some part-time job, they will get some extra money with this help, so they may be able to buy whatever they want to buy.
So what you're saying is this social assistance that is offered just isn't enough?
Not enough, yeah, at all, not all. Say, for example, for 3 kids with the parents and father and mother, because the rent is taking most of the part of the money. Like if you see a 2-bedroom apartment, it's not less than $1,000. And they're getting only $1,300-something. So what they can do with the $300 for 1 month with the 2 kids and one father and mother? It's very hard, you know, it's very hard. They sometimes they come and cry. Sometimes when they want to come to food bank, when I call them, say, I don't have a token to come to your place. And then sometimes I arrange the volunteers to take the bags and give it to the apartment. At the end of the, after 15th, 16th, 20th, they don't have money. They have nothing. Some kids, they don't have milk to drink last 2 weeks. and they are going to school without breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
End of the month, like a last week of the month, there's nothing. The fridge is empty. One mother was crying, my fridge is empty. I have nothing for last week of the month. So there are difficulties going on. So every little issue is a big issue for the concerning a kid, concerning the children, because children are the precious one. Everybody say, like, we see the sign and everywhere, but somebody has to look into this children's education and the nutritious food. It has to go into the political side, and they have to give something more to the kids. That's what my opinion is. We have to grow the children very strongly, and if we don't give a food, right food in right time and now, then we are going to regret in future. That is for sure, I'm telling.
Well, it's a good thing that your organization is there to help people out. It doesn't sound like that's really a real solution to the problem. It sounds like they need some sort of structural changes, but it's good that you're there to sort of offset that and that you're able to put food in those people's fridges as often as you can.
Yeah.
How many people volunteer at the food bank? You mentioned some of the volunteers might drive.
The volunteers, like I have about 200 volunteers there working around.
Wow.
In different areas, like a reception to until the food pickup and delivery and everything. So all the volunteers are very, very genuine. They are very good. I have to thank all the career colleges and like Seneca Humber, or the career colleges, and plus the Toronto Employment Social Services. People also, they are helping us. Some people are from EA, Service Canada, and the immigration and newcomers, and a lot of volunteer activities are going on. And we also try to, because not that we have, they are volunteering and we are leaving them just like that. We are educating them. Even they, when they're volunteering, we are educating them as a Canadian experience, non-paid experience. We are giving them a good kind of a professional. They are supervisors. They are handling them very nicely, so easily they can get jobs in the job market. And sometimes we do the certification also for the volunteers. And the volunteers also, they feel that they wanted to bring some food. They wanted to give something to the kids. And they are also part of our organization. They are not just coming as a volunteers for some time or some for their cause, and they are leaving. And once they join, then they are forever.
Hmm. It sounds like they're really committed people.
Yeah, very committed people. And they love to work with us. Like I said, once they come to join, they joined as an organization. After they come inside and move with our people and our staff and our everybody, then they form a family set of feeling, and then they don't want to go. Even sometimes they move to a different province or different cities, when they come back, immediately they call, oh, I am back again, so put me into one of the volunteer positions, then I will try to help you. So those things are sometimes getting you like amazing. Oh, you're back again. Okay, come and join us.
I want to make sure that we don't rush the contact information at the end. We have about 8 minutes left, but I was wondering if you could tell us what food items in particular is the food bank in need of? How should people donate? How can people get involved?
Yeah, the food items that the people are bringing, mostly the non-perishable items, because even if something is left over, we can give it to next week. And the expiry date is always long, like a month or 15, 20 days away. And every week, we buy the fresh fruits and vegetables, because we don't have a big freezer or fridge facilities in our location. What we do is every Saturday morning, our volunteers go to the flea market or go to the food terminal. They buy the fresh fruits and vegetables, bring it to the two locations, and give it away everything the same day. So there is no leftover at the green vegetable section, because everything is gone. Only the non-perishable items, the canned food or the packed food, we distribute according to the family size for 1 week. They can take it and they can keep it at their home and eat for 1 week. And next week they're coming back. And any other special items like cookies, or like if they get some noodles, something very special item comes, we give them also like in between the week. We call them and say, we have a shipment, a special shipment came today. If you want to come and pick up some food, you can come and pick it up. Like that is an occasionally special times. Otherwise, the people who, the families, they are bringing, before they bring the food, they call us and ask what items you need now. I usually say the baby items because the adult people, the parents, they forget about the children's items. So I always tell them like a baby formula, like a milk powder or the milk items for the kids. Mostly the kids' items are very low. So that's why I always tell the parents, when you want to buy something for the food bank, please call us and make sure you're bringing the very special need items to the food bank.
Okay, so it would make sense then for people to bring non-perishable items, so things like canned beans or canned vegetables and also baby food, but to call ahead and to ask what the food bank is needing?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that we can thoroughly run smoothly, like everybody is equally served.
And I read that there's two locations now. There's one in Scarborough and then there's another in North York?
Correct, yes.
Where are those, or is it just best to go through calling and then allowing you guys to come and pick up the food, or what's the best way for people to get food to those food banks?
We are listed on 211 listing, and through the most of the clients are coming like the city of Toronto 211 listing. They call,
okay,
and they say they are vegetarian. Definitely, they will tell there's a location in 2370 Midland and Shepherd, and there's another location in the west side, 2400 Finch Avenue West, Western and Finch. So we have a helpline. It's called 416-744-HELP. That is 744-4357. 744-4357. If they call that helpline, definitely somebody is on the phone. We never let anybody to go in the answering machine unless we had a very high volume of calls. But most of the time, we try to answer the calls. And we talk to them and we book them. And if they are on the east side, we ask them to go to the Scarborough. If they are on the west side, we ask them to go to the North York. We don't have a postal code like a conventional banks. We don't go by the postal code. We go like east, west, north, south. That's it.
Okay.
Anybody is accessible. Anybody can come. Even they have a papers, even they don't have a status, we don't care. We give hungry, has no colors, no papers.
And the food bank, obviously, it's a not-for-profit. It's a charity. This is currently being run, though, with your money, or who else? How is the food bank actually running besides the donations?
Yeah, the donation now, it is not not yet funded by the government. So what I did is, from the beginning, I asked all the volunteers and members of the community, friends and business people to donate like a monthly donation. We have $10 program. Anybody can donate $10 monthly in an automatic payment, or they can go into the website and they can donate by PayPal and monthly, or when they want a special function like a Christmas, New Year, they always go to the www.vegfoodbank.ca. There's a donation PayPal program is there. They can donate there. And that is how we build up a little basic foundation money, so that we can run at least without any breakdown. And still we are encouraging people who are coming to the food bank like as a volunteer, so like a helpers, like a well-wishers. We ask them. We never ashamed to ask them anything. If you knock the door, sometimes the door will be open, right? So we always ask them. If you can afford $5 a month, it's fine. Or $10 a month, fine. This is how we are running. We are open. We are telling everything in a truth way, so that they understand, okay, and they see the action is going on. I always tell them, the people, Saturday, please come and see the location. See the people, how they are coming and how they are coming with the kids and how they are suffering, and go along with them and listen to the experience, so that definitely you will feel to give something back to this community. So that is how I'm running now for the time being.
We are out of time for today. I just wanted to hand it over to you for like 10 more seconds if you wanted to just say the phone number again, the website, so people know where they can go if they just tuned in with us.
Yeah, our helpline is 416-744-4357, 416-744-HELP, and the website is www.vegfoodbank.ca. We to even the website or the helpline. They can call us and talk lively, or go to the website and they can check our programs and what we are doing exactly. What is the newspaper all about? Wrote about us, like last 2 years, about 25 newspapers wrote about us, mm-hmm. about what we are doing, and is including Maclean's and Toronto Star and Sun and everybody. And they can read, and even if they want to donate, they can go into the PayPal system and donate. And we will assure everybody, even a penny that you are paying, definitely it is going back to the food bank, and it is nobody's state salary or nothing. Everybody is, including myself, everybody's volunteers, mm-hmm. and all the money that we collect, it is going back to the people, and we never touch a penny from that particular fund, because that money belongs to those people.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for being on our show. We were joined by Malin Joseph. He's the founder and CEO of the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank, a really great organization from the sounds of it. Thank you very much for joining us, Malin.
Thank you very much for your radio, and thank you for your help, and thank you everything for what you did for 2008 and 2010. Thank you.
We were glad to help out. I'm really impressed with how much the food bank has accomplished in 2 short years. It's quite incredible.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Animal Voices on CIUT 89.5 FM. You can check us out at our website at animalvoices.ca, and you can drop us a line at animalvoices@gmail.com. Stay tuned for Raw Sugar with Shariza.